You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life. Each second and fourth Wednesday at 1 Pacific, 12 Mountain, and 4 Eastern Time, we will have tools for living every day in peace. Are we unique in our struggles? Some people seem to endure and persevere throughout darkness or challenging times. What keeps them going? How can some people rise up and live in peace no matter what's going on in their lives? We can all do it. And here to tell us more about it, I want to welcome Cynthia Richardson, a deaconess, a career educator, and a warrior of love and action in the midst of life challenges. Welcome, Cynthia, to Living Every Day in Peace.
Hello. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it is my pleasure to have someone like you here today, Cynthia. You have so much to share with the listeners. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what makes you who you are?
I'm a native Texan. I have been in Oregon for 24 years. I grew up, I grew up in Tyler, Texas. My mom was a single parent. She and my father separated and divorced early on in my life. My grandmother, my father's mother, she made sure that she provided everything that she could possibly provide us when our father was not in our life. But all of my family were educators, and that influenced me to become an educator. But I can tell you right now that God is my foundation. He is my strength. He is my everything. Without him, I would be absolutely nothing.
All right. So you were able to, Cynthia, our listeners don't quite know you yet, but I want to say that, you know, Cynthia is the first Black high school principal in Salem Kaiser School District. And so that's one among many things. Cynthia works on the equity board for the governor. Cynthia works with administrators in the state who work in a district office. You let me know, Cynthia, when I'm off board here. She has such a deep bench of community service, the NAACP, as well as she's lived through challenges. Being the first Black high school principal couldn't have been easy. She has challenges around illness, so many things. I mean, Cynthia, you've had a lost marriage. You always have that smile on your face. Every time I see you, you are always upholding other people and telling them it's going to be okay in the midst. And I've seen you in the midst of struggles, and you continually show a positive footing. So I know, you seem to let your light shine where no matter what darkness is around you.
What I know is I was born anointed and appointed to do the work that I do. And I was given a second chance at life. And I know that I have to get it right. I know that I have to share with others everything that God has done for me, through me, in order to have this abundant joy that I have, this life that I have. But yes, you have to have faith. You have to trust. You have to surround yourself with people who you can look up to, who will support you, who will love you, who will encourage you, who will also tell you when you need to do something differently. But it's about who and what you let into your inner being. You have to have peace that surpasses all understanding in order to have the joy and the life that I have.
Wow. Peace that passes all understanding. So tell us, like, Cynthia, who are the people that helped you along your path?
And first of all, it was my mother and my grandmother, my sisters. At this point in my life, my sons, my grandchildren. I've had mentors along the way, people who encouraged me, who pushed me, and told me that I could do and be anything I wanted to do and become. I remember my first grade teacher, Mrs. Austin, who treated me as if I was an IA in her classroom. She let me teach all the time. I remember my second grade teacher, third grade teacher, fourth grade teacher, and fifth grade teacher. All of them were African-American women. My principal was an African-American woman. My superintendent was an African-American male. And just seeing these role models and them believing in me, them giving me leadership opportunities, yes, really, really made a difference. Coming to Oregon, it's been a little different and it's been a little challenging, but God has placed people in my path and in my life, like you, Dr. Collins. yes, Marcia Moria, Willie Richardson, who was the first African-American school board member in the district that I serve. But yes, he constantly places people in my pathway. I call them my angels, mm-hmm. who encourage me and make sure that I do what I'm anointed and appointed to do.
So you're anointed and pointed light that is shining amongst many communities that you have been in contact with. But you mentioned something really important here. You talked about having African-American educators and teachers and mentors in your life. And that is, as you know, it's one of the challenges in schools today, is that there's not very many people who look like me. I did not have an African-American teacher growing up. I didn't have one until I was in college. So when I don't have people who look like me and I'm experiencing racial harm by being in a system that doesn't have a lot of people like myself, how do you help bridge that gap for those people?
Well, first of all, I want to say, without that foundation, without having those people in my life, I never would have been able to go through all of the things I have gone through here. I came here knowing who I am, what I am, what I can do. And that can't be taken away from me. That was a firm foundation that was instilled in me. I see so many people of color moving here that are not able to be successful, that will not stay here and put up the fight that you have to put up. But God made it clear to me that he brought me here for a specific reason. And that reason was to encourage others, to open doors for others, and to make sure that they too knew that they too could have life eternally. They could have abundant joy. They could have the support they needed. But we have to work together and we have to establish those affinity groups. We have to establish those gatherings that our forefathers used to have, mm-hmm. and rejoice and plan and execute together.
Amen. I agree that we do need to work together. And, you know, Oregon is the only state in the union that joined the union as a white only state. So listeners may not know that about Oregon, and Oregon has a undercurrent, I like to call it, of really white supremacy and othering. And people seem like, you know, that they're not looking at it, like they won't pull back the blanket and see that it's there, but it's there. And I've watched your work, Cynthia, and I've watched you continue to pass the oak leaf and build the bridge of oneness and togetherness throughout the community for all people. And so that, I think, is really amazing. And you did that living through challenges. We haven't talked about specific challenges, and it's coming up time for a break already. Woo! But when we come back, we'll talk about like specifically some of the challenges that you were able to allow your light to shine no matter what. So you are listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. We have Cynthia Richardson here. She's a deaconess, a career educator, and a warrior of love in action in the midst of challenges. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear some more about this fascinating subject. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
We're back on Love and Light, living every day in peace. And my guest, Cynthia Richardson, a deaconess, a career educator and warrior of love and action in the midst of life challenges. But before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact Cynthia. If you wanted to contact her, where can listeners find you?
They can find me on Facebook at Cynthia.Richardson56481.
All right. Thank you. So, Cynthia, we were talking about the foundation that you had and all of the places where you are illuminating light within educational settings here in Oregon, which has been a challenge, but you make it look really easy. And so what kind of challenges have you brought light into?
One of the first challenges was when I moved from Tyler, Texas to Lancaster, Texas. It's like, you know, this is my home. I've been here 40 something years. You know, why are you moving me? But I became the first African-American principal. I was an elementary principal in Lancaster, Texas. And that's where I really saw some of the challenges I had. But I stayed focused on the work that I had been sent there to do. Turned that elementary around in 2 years, but had to leave because of just false accusations, all type of, you just couldn't trust people. People just couldn't believe that I was able to lead that work and get those type of results, that, you know, something had to have happened for us to do that. And then I was moved to Lincoln, Nebraska. I never saw that coming. I was recruited. I was there 2 years at Lincoln High School, and that's where I really saw diversity. I never knew diversity. In Texas, it was Black people and white people. That's all I saw. But when I went to Nebraska, it was much different. These kids needed prayer rooms. They needed rooms with sinks in it so they could wash their hands. They needed certain food. This helped me to really, really increase my lens on diversity and equity. And then I got recruited here, and I interviewed for a couple of high school principal positions because that's what I really wanted to do. I had taught high school in Texas 11 years, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. But I was convinced to come in and be a high school assistant principal. And the girl that recruited me told me, she said, "Come and learn the culture of Oregon before you try to lead the culture in Oregon." That was some of the best advice I could have ever gotten, because I really didn't know what I was coming to. I had to be an assistant principal at the high school 2 years. Then I was sent to the middle school to be assistant principal a year and a half, middle school principal, before I was able to get the principalship. So I had to, in my mind, prove myself, be overqualified in order to get the position that I originally wanted. I was at one of the high schools, McKay High School, 7 years. And then I went to North Salem High School, 7 years. And now I'm in the district office as the director of student equity, access, and advancement. But it has not been easy. I was able to implement AVID in the district, equal opportunity schools. I have a passion for making sure that all students have what they truly deserve to have. I have a passion for removing those barriers, those obstacles, and those challenges that continue to be in front of us. And I, too, had those same obstacles and challenges. I was never in an honors class. I was never in an AP class. So I was fighting for the students to have those things that I had never had, and was able to successfully do it. And so, challenge has always been something I've had to deal with. And I'm just thankful that God gives me the strength, the courage, the vision, and the support I need to be able to do what I need to do to remove those challenges. Being the first African-American principal, high school principal in Salem, Oregon, was like, who do you think you are? And where did you get your credentials? You know, always questioning me and my ability to do what I needed to do. And then having to work with an all-white male group of principals all the time, it was not easy. It was not easy. But like I said, you have to get that firm foundation. You have to know who you are, what you are, and what you can do. And you cannot allow others' opinions of you to stop you from doing what you are anointed and appointed to do.
Anointed and appointed to do. So Cynthia, you bring up quite a few things. You're talking about gender, you're talking about race, you're talking about systemic barriers, all of those things. And on top of all of that, didn't you have some health challenges as well?
Well, let's get to that too. Yes. I came here in August of 97. My husband at the time had decided that he was going to stay in Nebraska until that house sold. Mind you, we moved from Tyler, Texas to Lancaster, Texas to Nebraska, and we had a house in each one of those places. but he decided he needed to stay with that one. But by October of 97, I got out of the shower and I felt this lump on my breast. And I'm like, what is that? And I was trying to figure out where it came from, because I had had my mammogram in August. You know, you do all your wellness checks and everything before school starts. And I had gotten a clean bill of health. I went and had a biopsy. And I will never forget the day I walked into the office. The doctor came in and he says, I dread coming here to tell you what I need to tell you today. He says, because you're so young. And I said, well, just tell me. I have everything I need. Just tell me. And he says, I don't think you understand. He says, you have fourth stage breast cancer. And I said, okay, so what are we going to do about it? And he looked at me and he says, you're not acting like the typical woman that has just been told she has fourth stage breast cancer. I'm going to prescribe something for you. I said, no, you're not. I said, I came in here with everything I need. I don't need anything else. And he says, to the sheet of paper, and he started drawing the stages because he thought he just thinking.
Yeah, you don't get it. You don't get it.
And he says, this is the least intrusive to the most intrusive, and this is where you are. I said, okay, so what are we going to do? He said it one more time. He says, I got up, got dressed. I left that office. I went and found me another doctor. That doctor says, you know your diagnosis. I said, yes. And I said, so what are we going to do? And he said, if you were my wife or my daughter, I highly recommend a radical mastectomy. And I said, schedule it. Mm. I had only been in Oregon 3 months.
Oh, my God.
No family out here other than my two little boys, one in the fourth grade, one in the sixth grade.
Oh, my God.
My husband then did decide to come after he found out I had cancer. God miraculously took me through that experience. I had chemo and radiation simultaneously. Within 6 weeks, I was back at work. I'd leave work, go have chemo, and go back and do supervision at night.
No way. No way, Cynthia. Oh, no yes, way.
Yes, I did. I remember going into the choir room. We had a staff meeting and telling the staff that I had fourth stage breast cancer, but I would be back. They were crying and going on. And I'm like, you know, I can't be with these non-believers because, see, I know what my God can do. Anyway, they were wonderful to me. I will never forget how great the McKay staff was. They delivered hot meals to my house on a daily basis for that 6 weeks and did everything they could possibly do to make me feel accepted, valued, validated. It was the staff, but not the administrators.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
And there you are, creating community within your school, even with the challenge of your peers not being there for you.
Yes.
The light was still there, and it just shone no matter what. You left one doctor, went to another doctor. Let me go to somebody who can hear what I'm saying.
I had to have a believer, okay?
Yes.
I had to have somebody that truly believed. Now, that my surgery was in November. My mother died in December.
Oh, my God.
I have two sisters, and neither one of them could come out here because they were taking care of my mother. I remember talking to my mother the night before she died, and I said, Mama, I know you are wondering where I am, and you're trying to hold on for me. I just want you to know I'm going to be all right. I want you to be all right. And you go on home because I know we're going to be together again. And she did. She did.
And she did.
And I went to my doctor to ask him to remove my drain tubes so that I could go home. And he told me, no. I said, either you'll remove them or they're going with me because I'm going to bury my mama. And I was at the funeral home before both of my sisters who live in Texas, one in Dallas, one in Houston, and was there making those arrangements and getting it done. When I walked into that church, people were looking at me like, is that Cynthia? Because everybody had heard that I'd had fourth stage breast cancer. Nobody could believe I looked as good as I looked and that I had the spirits that I had. But I'm a believer, okay? God made it clear to me while I was on my so-called deathbed, that he brought me here for a purpose. And I could stay here and do what he brought me here to do, or I could die. And I got up running ever since. I've been on the battlefield. So I don't let anything deter me, because I know what my purpose is. And every time a weapon is formed against me, it doesn't prosper, because I know who I am, what I am, what I'm here to do. And I know he will protect me. If he brought me through 4-stage breast cancer, he will bring me through anything.
All right.
I have a place anywhere I am.
All right. Amen. All right. Amen. It's time for a break. Wow. We're here. We'll be back in Love and Light with Cynthia Richardson, a deaconess. And you can hear her preaching. Educator for a long time educator and a warrior of love and action in the midst of challenges. We'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
We're back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. We have Cynthia Richardson here, who is a deaconess, a career educator, and a warrior of love and action in the midst of challenges. Where can people find you? They hear the fire and they want to know a little bit more, and they want to be in your community, Miss Cynthia. Where can they find you?
On Facebook, Cynthia.Richardson56481.
All right.
Cynthia.Richardson56481.
Wonderful. So Cynthia, I love appointed and anointed. And all of us have some anointing and appointing that we have, but sometimes we don't know what that is. We're unsure, and we may not have Cynthia's in our lives to help us. What would you say to people who they heard you, they know that you have that fire, but yeah, that's for you, Cynthia, but that's not, I don't know, how am I supposed to do that?
You have to have a belief. You have to have a firm foundation. You have to have people that you can lean on that will continue to encourage you. I just can't say that enough. I have to have those down times where it's just me and me alone. And I have my Bible and I pray. And it's over in the weary, weary hours of the night and early morning that I'm awakened. And I am told specifically what I need to do, when I need to do it, and how I need to do it. And you might not be one of those people that have that kind of connection, but you need to be connected to somebody that does, so that they can pray on your behalf and help you to receive all of the blessings that you deserve to have and all of the vision that you need in order to do what you are assigned to do. Each and every one of us have gifts that have been given to us. Those gifts were not given to us by accident or coincidence. They were given to us for a purpose. It takes some of us longer than others to understand why we were given that gift and what we are to do with it. You need people around you to help encourage you and identify what those gifts are and give you those platforms that you can use to be able to utilize your gift. Please know that your gift is not just for you. It is given to you for you to use it to help others along the way. It's not just for you. It's to help
Absolutely. Others. I love that. I love that. I love that that about community and about connecting. You know, kind of reminds me of, you know, I have a book coming out pretty soon, Love of Light, A Guide to Peace and Oneness. And the premise of the book you just described, that time to connect for you, and that connection leads to connections with your brothers and sisters, right? Because it's a collective we, it's not about you. Yeah. And then that love leads to community and living out your purpose, whatever your purpose may be on this earth. And I love the way that you said that, because we all do have a purpose. And part of getting to the purpose is getting the gunk out the way. Mm-hmm. Moving yeah. out all the social media, moving out all the news, moving out he says, she says. And you have been an excellent example. I've just watched you work, and I've watched you rise up no matter what. And I may be kicking rocks, but nope, you're always continuing on, which really, you know, gives someone like me and other colleagues like, wow, look at Cynthia, like she's continuing. No matter what happens, you continue. And you've done a lot of great work in the state. Can you talk about some of the work? Like, you're on the Governor's Council. What? The Governor's Racial Equity Council? What is that?
The Racial Justice Council. I'm the chair of the Education Recovery Committee. I helped to establish the COSA Equity Board, where we meet with administrators of color on a regular basis, because we understand that we have a commonality and we need to be able to come together and to share and to learn from each other and to be inspired and encouraged to go back and do the work that we do. I was very, very fortunate to meet you and for you to call me one day and to invite me to this special training that I brought 15 others to. We were trained and we have come back and we have been implementing even with the obstacles and the challenges. I continue to get the vision and the strength to plunge forward and to have you there to call and to encourage me to keep on doing what I'm doing, to that we are doing the right work, and just making sure the students are at the center of why we do what we do. They are our why. And if you keep them as your why, you won't give up. You won't stop doing what you have been assigned and appointed to do. You will just do it and know that you are making a difference for others that will have to come behind you and hopefully not have as many obstacles and challenges as we have. But look at our forefathers, everything that they went through. I know we're not where we want to be, but we're better off than they were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think too, Cynthia, like when we think about education as a whole and we look at education, I don't know if our viewers really understand what is occurring inside of the educational boundaries with the pandemic that has occurred, with students who don't have access to computers or internet. There were so many barriers that were occurring during this pandemic that I know you were door to door. I mean, I don't know if listeners know that what people in school districts, teachers, educators, administrators, what they needed to do to care for our most vulnerable people.
I want people to know that the pandemic did not cause the disparities and all of the disadvantages that marginalized students and families went through. The pandemic exposed everybody to have a real view of what certain families are experiencing on a day-to-day basis.
And it seems to me like if your family's struggling, and this is me, and this is where I hope that our nation and our world will go, then my family's struggling. Mm-hmm. If your family is not eating, then my family's not eating. Mm-hmm. And so in schools, we see in the media this kind of like divisiveness of those who have and then those who say, you can't have none of my pie. Mm-hmm. And that must be a really tight, a tough space to be in. How do you bring love there?
You have to have people who put the needs of others first and foremost. And when you do that, you do not allow your needs to be the priority. You make their needs the priority. We did everything we could possibly do to let our students know how much we cared about them and that they would not be forsaken. We delivered Chromebooks to their homes, hotspots to their homes, food boxes to their homes, provided bus passes for them, whatever they needed to just help them survive. A lot of the students ended up having to go work because the elderly kids or the elderly family members were ill and could not work, and they were the ones that were providing for the family. So some of our students found themselves being the sole providers, and we still were trying to help them meet their educational needs and goals as well. It's been a struggle. I've never seen anything like it. This is my 43rd year as an educator, and it's like, wow. I've lived through tornadoes, fires, floods, but pandemic was just humongous. I had never seen all of the obstacles and challenges that it caused and the disparities that it caused, and just trying to give people hope and life and let them know that this too shall pass. We're still waiting.
Yeah, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for it to pass. And if someone is listening and they're thinking, whoa, I had no idea that that was even happening, and at that extent, because we're all in our little bubble, so to speak, how can they help? What can they do in their community to help with some of these challenges and barriers?
Basically, make it your priority to go to those neighborhoods that you pass by and you don't know the people. Get to know them. Build relationships with them so that they trust you. Let them know that you want to help them. They will tell you what they need. You have to have the ability to look and see what's missing. In my neighborhood, if I don't see the kids out playing, I go knock on the door. I make sure that everything is okay. Pick up something at the store and drop it off by the house. Just those little kind little things that you love and kindness. Just letting people know you truly, truly care. A fruit basket, whatever. People are afraid right now, so they may not allow you in their home. But when you see them outside, ask them how
they say hi.
Ask them how they're doing and what do they need and how can you support them in any kind of way, you know, during times like this, because you never know. You never know what they're experiencing, what they're going through, and what type of help they need.
Absolutely. And we never know what we may need one day.
Yes.
So
yes.
When you see someone struggling, that's really the oneness that's us. So it's not like, oh, that's them over there. You see someone struggling, be willing to be willing to help someone else. and it's not about you. Appointed, anointed, and appointed. It is time for a break. It was such wonderful talking to Cynthia Richardson. She's talking about her experience as a longtime educator in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon. She was the first Black high school principal. Wow. And what year was that, Cynthia?
That was 2003.
She holds a wealth of experience and is a light wherever she goes and making sure that she's taking care of others in the midst of her journey. We're so grateful to have you, Cynthia. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you ready to manifest the highest version of your life? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you on your own personal soul quest. Every year, Adrian hosts 2 7-day virtual solstice quests and a 21-day soul quest to create a quickening in your soul's evolution. During the quest, your heart unravels and you remember the depth of your love. The essence of who you are is always wanting to be fulfilled. To learn more, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
How to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We are back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, and I have Cynthia Richardson here with me. So grateful. A deaconess, a career educator, and warrior of love and action in the midst of challenges. And we were talking on the break about, you know, about the hope and knowing about things that were occurring for people. And I was saying to Cynthia how my mom had 9 brothers and sisters, and in the summer they would be packing up, you know, food for the winter. And sometimes other families would come by because they didn't pack up. And mom would say, like, well, they were out playing while we were doing all the hard work. And now the winter comes and they want something to eat. And my grandmother would open up the freezer and give it to them. And I bring that story up because I have been in Cynthia's presence and all kinds of people call. And it just reminds me of, my grandmother, how she would always have the door open. And Cynthia, you always have the door open. And this last little bit, I'd love to talk about the hope and the examples of hope that you've seen and that I know that you have coached. I know I've watched you be there for people. And it doesn't matter whether they were there for you or not. You have always consistently, picked up that phone. Are you okay? All right. And then ask about every part of their family. I mean, it's so warm and loving. So, you know, for people out there who are just thinking, wow, this Cynthia is special. That can't be me. Find yourself a Cynthia. There's a Cynthia around you. You see that light and that illumination, that smile that is from here to yonder. You find yourself a Cynthia, you know, hang on to their elbow, get tucked at their hip, because there's a Cynthia near you. I know there is one. So, Cynthia, I know, like, you have so many stories of success And I watch it, but share with our listeners some of the successful stories of light, love and light in your communities.
First, I want to say the word I read says, give and it shall be given unto you. I have taken students into my home to let them live when they didn't have a place to live. I have this heart for our kids and wanting to make sure that they have everything that they need, food to eat, give them money at school all the time, making sure that they can feel as good about themselves as everybody else. But I also do that same thing for the adults that I see who don't have the self-confidence, who don't have the necessary resources and supports that have been there for me, helping them see how they too can have access to those things in life that they need and want to be happy. But I love mentoring others. I love helping others. In my church, I work, I do food share on one Saturday a month. I was doing children's ministry. Music ministry is my major ministry. I love to sing. I'm anointed to sing. Didn't know it until I was grown. But yes, I'm anointed to sing. And in the church I'm in, I'm the first female deaconess that they've ever had in the 70 years of the church. And this past Sunday, I was elected again for another 3-year term.
Wow.
It's just amazing. I didn't see that coming, but God did. And everywhere he places me, most of these places, I am the only African-American in those positions, but I believe he knows that I will work with the people that I work with in a gentle manner. I will help them to understand and see things from different perspectives. When I first came to Oregon, and I still believe this, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you can't lead what you haven't lived. And right. So you need somebody beside you that can help you see things from a different perspective, mm-hmm. and help you to understand things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So I know God sent me here for that. And when you're angry and shouting, people don't hear you. They don't mm-hmm. understand. So you have to take a deep breath and say, they just don't know. They don't know any better. And somebody said, well, they ought to know better. Well, honey, if you've lived in Oregon all of your life and this is the way you've always done things, no, you don't know any better. And somebody has to help you to see that you need to do things differently. And what I tell people is, if it was your child, your niece or nephew, your grandchild, what would you do? Use that lens every time you make a decision to take an action against another person, another child. If you own it, you will do a much better job than if you don't. That's huge. It's just huge that people do that. And I've had people that come to me throughout the school district and say, I don't know. I don't know how I would do this without you. I can come to you. I don't have to feel shame. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to feel that you're going to talk down to me or be upset with me or talk about me. You mm-hmm. listen, and then you advise, and then you support. And so that right there lets me know that's what God sent me here for. Mm-hmm. And now I have people reaching out to me wanting to know how do you do this? How did you do this? I got so busy doing the work that God put in front of me that 43 years have gone by and I don't even realize it's 43 years. And I'm like, you know, what's next? What am I supposed to do next?
That's 43 years is a long time. And I hear you talking about compassion. And we're missing a lot of compassion in our world today. You know, our compassion, you know, that's, you know, this show is Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace for a reason. because I didn't see anything peaceful out there. I saw no compassion and no peace. But then when I started to really work on my peace,
come on,
I was able to see the light that was all around me that I couldn't see before. And now I can see it. And so this show is about connecting that light to people who are out there listening. Like, you can live in peace. You can be anointed and appointed. You are. You just have to get out there and do it. Do it for yourself. And I love what Cynthia said. She said, finding that quiet time, being that alone time, being able to connect, and then looking for people to connect to. Like, you are what you eat. You are who you are around. Looking for those people, those illuminations that are all around you. It's almost like the scales came off and then I could see. I couldn't see before then. And I went, where are these people? Where'd they come from? And they were right there the whole time. That's what this walk is all about. Yeah. Now, Cynthia Richardson is an excellent example of living the light, walking the light throughout whatever challenges there may be. And she has said over and over in this last hour how much she counts on her belief system to help her. And I would say to the listeners, do you have a belief system? Can you believe in your higher self? Can you start taking steps to have positivity in your life, not negativity? Those are foundational, the corner root, the juggernaut. That is the cornerstone to start having a good life, to start being able to bring that peace and light everywhere you go. And Cynthia Richardson is definitely one of those people who does that. Cynthia, if there was one, two, or three things that you would say to our listeners, like, this is what I think, these are some steps you could take, practical steps. You've already mentioned several. They were like, Cynthia's special. I can't be a Cynthia. What would you say to them? What would you say to them? What kind of communities? Many people don't go to church anymore. People are disillusioned with church. They're afraid. They've been harmed and hurt. What would you say to people? How could they start to build the bridge?
I want to say, he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. So you have to keep your mind in the right place at the right time at all times. You can't let all of this negativity and things that are not acceptable enter into your life. The second thing I'd say is, church is a hospital. People go to church to be healed and to learn, and the people there are not perfect. So don't allow people to determine your happiness or if you're going to be saved or not. You have to find people that you can fellowship with, that you believe in. And I'm going to say that really knows the word and teaches the word. The word is so clear. It lays out to us what we need to do, when we need to do it, and how we need to do it. And when you're not doing what you are not supposed to do, you know it. You feel sick at yourself.
Because you feel it, right.
Everything happens to let you know that I shouldn't go there. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't do that. Yes, you have discernment. All of
discernment.
Us. Discernment.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so I just say, ask him to order your steps, to be a light to your pathway, to guide you, to use you, and to be able to trust you to do what it is he has anointed and appointed you to do.
Ask. Ask and thou shalt receive. Thank you, Cynthia. Our time is up. I want to thank our guests, Cynthia Richardson, a deaconess, career educator, and warrior of love in the midst of challenges. I love that. And thank you for tuning in to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Please join us next time. We're going to have Kathleen Booker, the Jedi of Calm, is going to be here discussing breathwork in women. Until next time, be well. Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. If you spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.